Hello and welcome to English Podcasts with Chris and Sue. For more information, visit english-podcasts.com.
So today we're here with Mr. Boris Johnson. We're very, very pleased to have him here. It's been a long time we've been trying to get you here, Boris. Thanks very much for that. Now, you may be very shortly going down in history as probably the worst Prime Minister the United Kingdom has ever had. What do you say about that, Boris?
Very generous, very, very generous and slightly overdone introduction. I wish it were true. I wish it were true.
It will probably turn out to be true, Boris. Anyway, time will tell. Can you give us just a word, for those that don't know you, maybe one word to describe yourself?
I am fat.
Okay, that's a good description, I think. I was about the most accurate that I've heard lately. But how about a little bit more, for those that don't know you?
A byword for selfishness and bigotry.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to apologise because Susan can't be here today. You know Susan, don't you, Boris?
It was she who went for the Big Bang in 1986. For millions of poor, misinformed students, she is simply a name to hiss.
Okay, well, that's your opinion, but I know that you met her once, and what did you actually say to her?
As I say, ding-dong. And had I been thinking faster, I should have said...
Yeah, maybe you could have spoken a little bit about the UK, what's happening in the UK. What is actually happening in the UK at the moment?
Our food was boiled and our teeth were awful, our cars wouldn't work and our politicians were so hopeless that they couldn't keep the lights on.
But surely things weren't that bad. I mean, can you give us a little bit more on that?
Women were forced to give birth by candlelight. Prime Minister's Questions was lit by a paraffin lamp and Blue Peter was all about how to put newspaper in blankets for extra insulation.
But you've just released £20 billion to finance the food industry in the UK. Where is that going?
That financed the tapas bars and the restaurants.
So will this financial injection, will it actually, you know, make the British diet better?
Or will it bring terrifying limbless chickens to our table?
So as ex-mayor of London, how do you think London is seen on the world stage?
All they can talk about all around the world is London, London, London. The whole world seems to want to come here.
So everybody's talking about London, London, London. What would you say to businesses that want to come and set up in England?
Welcome to England, home of the economic crisis.
So you've been accused by a lot of journalists of inaction on the Brexit crisis that you don't have a deal. Can you tell me what is actually going on in your cabinet?
Apart from the grunting and heaving.
Yeah, apart from that, what is actually going on?
We will continue to go on cheapo flights to stag parties in ancient cities.
Okay, so that sounds good for you anyway. But so what would you say is your main achievement just of late?
That means basically that we have failed in our duty to the people to take back control.
Some will say that Brexit is all about you and the richer people in your party. Paint me a picture of those people.
With a salt breeze ruffling our hair, a buccaneering environment where there was no shame, quite the reverse, in getting rich.
It's been said that your idea of standing firm for the people is a completely false concept. What do you have to say about that, Boris?
What was going on then? Was naked and blatant hypocrisy by the British government because they were continually pretending to the people of this country that they were standing firm.
And in a few years, how would history look back on your government? I mean, will history look back on you and say that you were a caring government?
The opposite, that we were now decadent, that decline had set in like Death Watch Beetle in the church tower.
That's quite damning. And what do you think, in fact, of... Because you've been accused of being greedy. What would you say about that?
And I accept the CPS view that greed is a valid motivator of economic progress.
So what can the people of the UK expect Conservative politicians to be doing in terms of poverty and homelessness in the UK? What practical steps will your government and politicians take in terms of poverty and homelessness? What will they actually do?
Figuratively riffling banknotes under the noses of the homeless.
So you keep talking about Europe's plans and Europe being against the UK, etc. I mean, where does this fear come from? And what plans do you fear the most?
Plans to abolish the prawn cocktail flavour crisp or whatever, or abolish the curved cucumber.
But apparently you have met with your European counterparts. Your thoughts?
Do you not think it was extraordinary? And the next most amazing thing was how relatively well behaved they all were.
So how would you actually define Brexit?
Some un-British spasm of bad manners.
You are constantly being accused by journalists of going off on tangents, not answering questions, and just addressing subjects that you want to address. Can you enlarge on this, Boris?
Between the top cornflakes and the bottom cornflakes is getting wider than ever.
I'm sorry, we were talking about the EU. Can you get back to the subject, please?
And the harder you shake the pack, the easier it will be for some cornflakes to get to the top.
Okay, well, let's leave that one and we'll come back to that later, maybe. Now, you've just recently held a garden party in the grounds of No. 10 Downing Street for some selected world leaders. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What are your memories of that?
I remember the stringy grass in the parks and the Spangles wrappers. Do you remember? And the bleached white dog turds. Anyone remember that?
I know that this garden party was a bit of a rehearsal for the day that you say that Britain are going to leave the EU, which is the 31st of October, which coincidentally is Halloween. What did you do?
Carried signs saying boo.
That will surely be effective. Now, can you just, let's move on a little bit. Can you describe your leader of the House, Jacob Rees-Mogg? How would you describe him?
Yes, the evil termagant from Billy Elliot.
I don't think many people will contradict you on that one. And what about your cabinet? How would you describe them?
Pink-eyed Terminator sent back from the future to cull the human race.
So you've recently taken over the office of British Prime Minister, unelected, but elected by Conservative Party members. When you walked into your cabinet the first day, what were your impressions? What did they look like?
Tweedy-looking types, and there were some suited thrusters, as you would expect.
Okay, anything else?
Few turned their backs, some wore twerpish Guy Fawkes masks.
What was your first action as the new British Prime Minister?
I did a painting to express my feelings about this country, and it's modelled on the old advertisements you used to find at Taunton Station.
Now, shortly after you took office, your brother, Joe Johnson, resigned. He said that he was going to resign because he wanted to spend less time with his family, meaning you. What did you actually do after that? You punished a lot of your own Conservative MPs for voting against you. What did you do to your brother Joe? How did you punish him?
By chaining him to a Tartarian crag while his liver was pecked out. I talked about a hangover cure. His liver was pecked out by an eagle, and every time his liver regrew, the eagle came back and pecked it again.
And how did Joe react to this? What did he do?
And he was asking me, because he'd just been in Brazil. He said, what is going on?
And well, he might. So how do you see the EU? What do you actually see it like? What I'm trying to say is, what would the EU be to you?
The EU would be a lobster. I'll tell you why it would be a lobster. Because the EU, by the very way it works, encourages its participating members to order the lobster at the joint meal, because they know that the bill is going to be settled by everybody else, and normally by the Germans. So that's what the EU would be. It would be a gigantic lobster with a butter sauce or something like that.
Well, apparently you've been going back and forward to Brussels to negotiate the Brexit deal. What would you say about those days that you were in Brussels just recently, if indeed you were?
And those were the great days, of course, when nobody had mobile phones and nobody knew where you were and there was no way of contacting me.
So it looks increasingly like you're aiming at a no-deal Brexit. What will that mean to the man in the street, the everyday person in the UK? What will that mean? What would you say to somebody in the UK about this no-deal Brexit. What will it mean to thee?
Your mattress will monitor your nightmares. Your fridge will beep for more cheese. Your front door will sweep wide the moment you approach like some silent butler. Are we doomed to a cold and heartless future in which computer says yes or computer says no, with the grim finality of an emperor in the arena?
It all makes pretty grim listening, Boris. But I see that you're really aiming at the open trade agreement with the US. What about exports to the US? How's that going to come about? And do you have a history of this? It would seem absurd and indefensible that you're not actually exporting more services.
But it is also absurd and indefensible that the population of America, to the best of my knowledge, has gone for decades without eating a morsel of British lamb or beef, let alone haggis.
What have you discovered about some of the export sectors from the UK to the US?
I have discovered that anyone wanting to sell socks to the United States, I've got to be careful with this, but anyway, I think they at least face a tariff.
But the UK arms sector, they are a notorious exporter. Is there any chance of them exporting to the US military?
The US military are banned from buying British tape measures as though there were some kind of general prejudice still against British rulers.
So apparently you've had some negotiations with the Americans. Who did they send to negotiate with you?
And they sent a gorilla.
So you've actually tried to negotiate a trade deal with a gorilla?
Or a person dressed in a gorilla suit to kind of monster me.
So I guess the actual import of bananas is an important aspect for you.
How many directives do you think there are from the European Union on bananas?
I don't know. Three?
There are four.
But is this really an important aspect of Brexit?
Do we need them? Do we need to be told that you cannot have, you know, abnormal curvature of your bananas?
No, I guess. But what will banana regulations do for everybody in the UK?
I think everybody over time would be much better off.
So it's good for you to actually come here, because I know that the Conservative conference is happening in Manchester. What did you do yesterday?
Yesterday, we had a piece of cheese, and it was very good.
So I noticed that a lot of your arguments are based on food, bananas and cheese. How can people engage with that?
I think it would be much more interesting, because I think the arguments, when you dig into them, people want to engage in the argument. And you can't engage in the argument if it's cloaked and swaddled in a load of waffle that...
Okay, Boris, it's been really good speaking with you. Do you have any tips for English podcasts so that we can actually move on and improve ourselves?
Okay, let me just give you my thoughts about that before you ask me. I think one thing that is incredibly important is to try to speak, and I fail totally in this, and I catch myself endlessly on the radio. You're waffling and blurbling and using all sorts of endless Latinate words in exactly that way. And that what people listen to are short Anglo-Saxon words that readily correspond to some object in the universe that they can identify.
It's been said that the Tories are increasingly out of touch with the general population, that you understand only a small percentage of what the people actually want in the country. What do you say about that, Boris?
We understand 1 or 2%, let alone 5 or 10%.
So what sort of world will your Tory party bequeath to the population?
We bequeath an Orwellian world designed for censorship and repression and control.
So what are the principal things that your party has actually stopped?
Freedom of opinion and expression, the privacy of home and correspondence, and the right to seek and impart information and ideas.
I read somewhere that you're actually from Somerset, but where are you living now?
In London. A wonderful city.
But it's always raining there, isn't it?
And here's the good news, where, by the way, it is not raining 94% of the time.
And any more good news?
And where at one stage, when I was mayor of London, or shortly before, we discovered that we had more Michelin-starred restaurants even than Paris.
You suggested that we simplify our language. Can you give us an example?
Fintech, biotech, edtech, minitech, medtech, nanotech, green tech, every kind of tech.
So on that bombshell, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, at the time of recording, thank you very much.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your kind attention.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again at english-podcast.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes. And if you have an idea for a podcast or a blog, please get in contact with us through the site at english-podcast.com.